We are more than what we see. Every voice, every story holds a key. Together we rise in synergy. Different faces, different pain, different stories, same refrain. Trying to find a place to stand, trying to feel a guiding hand. What you say and what you mean, life somewhere in between. Every action has a cause, every heart behind the walls. If we listen, we can hear it. If we look, we can see it. There's a pattern in the soul. Every piece can make us whole. So back to something new. It's the power we can be when we see what's underneath. Not just words, but energy. That's the power of synergy.
Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, a relationship coach. But I did start out as a life coach. Now, that was over 20 years ago. And people said, well, what's a life coach? And I said, you know, I teach people how to score in the game of life. I give them strategy and equipment and I keep them healthy. And yeah, they succeed. I think that the psychology, the mental health industry, the pharmaceutical industry of the modern world, especially in the United States, doesn't really teach people how to be healthy and happy and successful. It labels them and pumps them full of drugs and kind of depresses them, that says, well, you know, you're sick and twisted and damaged, and but, you know, it's okay. Well, no, it's not. So when I told people, I want to be a life coach and help people succeed and feel good about themselves, fulfillment. Yeah, no, that's too broad. It's too general, they said. So I thought, okay, well, I've been doing it now for a couple of years. When I handed my card to someone one day, they said, well, what's your niche? What's your specialty? And I said, well, let me think about this. I've had all kinds of clients and all kinds of businesses who want all kinds of advice. But you know what? Whether it was about their work or their money or their time management, their health, it all came back to relationships. A lot of the quality of those different areas of their lives were contingent on the quality of the relationships in their lives. And so I thought, well, you know what? What's a common theme? What's a common thread for people? Challenges, common challenges that we all face. Well, communication, that was tough for them. Sometimes connection, genuine connection. But then I thought, you know what? It's about understanding who we're with and maximizing their strengths and talents. Yeah, as a coach, when I would tell people, you know what? You're doing an amazing job. You're just playing the wrong game. It was based on their personality. And so when I would tell people, yeah, you're with a good person in this relationship, you just don't understand their personality. Let's get synchronized. Yes, let's synergize. When we synergize with people, we unite with them. We strengthen and fortify each other. We have this ability to bring out the best. But I tell people there are certain principles in relationships. Number one, there's no neutral energy. You're either positive or you're negative. And people, they want to be indifferent. Well, I don't care, as a sort of a get out of jail free card. But you can't be that way. Indifference is negativity. Because we naturally, as human souls, we have a spirit in us that has energy that other people are affected by. And if we tell someone, I don't care, that affects them. So you are either positive or you're negative. The second principle I teach people is there's no inertia. You're either moving towards someone or away from them or with them. Yeah, so when we get together, if we have positive energy, that's when we are empowered. Our actions are exponentially more influential, not only on the people that we're directly with, but the people that we're around and then the environment that we're in. So that's the third point. Knowledge is power. Yeah, Power comes with accountability. Do you believe you are accountable for the way that you wield your influence over other people? Okay, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I've written a book. It's called Embrace Your Nature. It's about personality qualities and functions that everybody has to perform in life, that you just do them in different ways and on different levels for different reasons. Okay, yes, it's a 36,000 word book, so I'm going to take the show today, the entire hour, no breaks and no phone calls, because I'm going to be covering a lot of information. Yeah, it's kind of analytical, it's very informative, so if you need to listen to the archives a couple times over just to get all of the information, I'm going to try to condense a 16 chapters book into a 50-minute show. Okay, so bear with me here now. What a lot of people have heard of the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, MBTI Personality Profile System, it's very accepted worldwide, and it's appreciated because it is very specific, it's very accurate. Unfortunately, because of the internet now, there are a lot of people who have put information, incorrect information, on the internet that, you know what, more than anything, it's just their opinion or their personal experience with it, something that has applied to their life, but it's not precise and it's not as accurate as it could potentially be. So what I'm going to be explaining today is not just the dichotomies or the dispositions, but functional order. Now, I talk about it a lot in my shows, just sort of as a detail of the overall theme or topic that I'm addressing, because it's an element. Who you are, yeah, what you do, that's important to know. But when I teach people about their personalities, it's okay to be different from the people around you. You were born with a personality. So it is actually very important for you to not only know what that is, but to embrace it. That means accept it and really work with it, maximize it. Anything that could potentially be a weakness, well, that's also a potential strength in disguise. Or it could be because you're not really good at that one particular activity. You may be amazing at its polar opposite. Ladies and gentlemen, everything in the world needs to be done. And we are born with a personality. We have gifts and talents and strengths and abilities that our life experience may augment or minimize, but it doesn't change who we are just because we have maybe grown up in a culture that doesn't appreciate our true nature for whatever reason, or if our life experiences, particular personal traumas, may have inhibited the manifestation of those qualities and gifts and talents. You know what? They are still there, even if they're buried or repressed or suffocated. It's time to bring them back out. So I'm going to just give you a chance to check on the basic dichotomy questions. You can pretty much get a book at a library and it'll give you the overview of the general letters. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the letters themselves. I'm going to start at the point of, you already know what your four letters of your personality are. What does that mean you look like and you feel like when you're doing different activities? And what specifically qualifies as each one of those different activities? Does cooking, is that sensory or is that feeling? Well, that depends on whether it's dominant or tertiary. Okay, so I already lost half of you just because you don't know what those words mean. So I'm going to be very, very thorough and very detailed, right, as I explain the four levels of functionality: dominant, auxiliary, tertiary, and inferior, and of all of the intuitive, sensory, thinking, and feeling activities, what exactly does that mean? I will be giving specific examples of dominant introverted sensing. Auxiliary extroverted feeling. Okay, let's just start with figuring out functional order. Again, ladies and gentlemen, Everybody does everything. I don't care what your letters are of your personality. You're still going to have to do things in life that are not the letters of your personality because as humans, we have to do everything. Functional order is about how well we do it and how easy it is for us relative to how horrible we are and how hard it is to do it, because those are all very okay. So since I'm going to be covering a lot of information, I'm not going to be taking any breaks, and I'm not going to have any calls. If you have questions, you can always email me, and I will respond to any questions that any listeners have on my next show, because I'm sure a lot of things are going to come up. So if you want to email synergyrelationshipcoaching@gmail.com. In the address, obviously, you're going to put that. The subject, just say the MBTI radio show, and I'll know that it will be specifically about what I'm saying today. Okay, so let's talk about functional order. It is the preference that we have and the indication of our capacity to do different things. It is relative to the second and third letter of your personality. That's the S or N, which is the second letter, and the T or F, which is the third letter. Everybody has to do sensory, intuitive, thinking, and feeling things. The only indication is what they do most to least, best to worst. So how do you determine? Let's just pull a random personality, an ENFJ. Yes, that's a shout out to my baby girl. She's the most wonderful ENFJ I've ever met. Now, the last letter of your personality, the P or the J, indicates which of the two middle letters will be extroverted. As a J, that means the third letter of her personality is extroverted. Okay, so that means the feeling, the F, is extroverted, and then the intuition is introverted. Okay, so then as an extrovert, the E, which is the first letter, her extroverted feeling is going to be her preferred activity. Her intuition is introverted. Yeah, she's going to want to do that, but not as much as her extroverted feeling. Okay, so there's dominant, auxiliary, tertiary, and inferior. Dominant is what you want to do most. Auxiliary is number two. Tertiary is number three, and inferior is number four. Okay, so if we know that for an ENFJ, the dominant extroverted feeling, that's what they want to do most. The introverted intuition is auxiliary. That's number two on their list. So what about the thinking and the sensing? How much do they want to do thinking activities, and how much do they want to do sensing activities? Well, if they love to do extroverted feeling things, they're going to hate introverted thinking. So the polar opposite of extroverted feeling is introverted thinking. The polar opposite is most is least. Their inferior function is extroverted thinking because their dominant, or I'm sorry, introverted thinking because their dominant function is extroverted feeling. Now, if their intuition is introverted, when they do sensory things, they will be extroverted. Okay, so tertiary, extroverted sensing, inferior, introverted thinking. Okay, now let's do another personality. My husband, he's an ESTP. The P means that his second letter, the S, will be extroverted, which means the third letter, the T, will be introverted. He's an extrovert, so he's going to want to do the extroverted sensing things more than the introverted thinking. Okay, so if extroverted sensing is dominant, introverted intuition will be inferior. He's going to hate doing those things. And if his thinking, auxiliary thinking, is introverted, when he does feeling things, they'll be extroverted. And that's tertiary. So for an ESTP, it's dominant extroverted sensing, auxiliary introverted thinking, tertiary extroverted feeling, and inferior introverted intuition. Okay, so now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go just all the way down to the very basics. How much should a person do their dominant function? 7 to 8 hours a day. How much should they do their auxiliary function? 3 to 4 hours a day. How much should they do their tertiary? 2 to 3 hours a day. And how about their inferior function? You know what? Not more than 1 to 2 hours a day. Let me ask you this. What do you think is worse for someone? Doing what they're not or not doing what they are? The more you do your lower function activities, that means the less you're doing higher function. If you're doing your tertiary and inferior activities that are not your true nature, that also means you're not doing your dominant and auxiliary functions, which are your nature. Okay, so time to take an inventory. Currently, what are you doing? And this is something that I tell people all the time that I've had to work with over the years. When I ask people questions, just the general questions to determine their four letters in the first place, they answer based on what they currently do. No, don't tell me what you currently do, because odds are part of the reason why you're coming to see me is because you're not being who you organically are. And you need me to help you get back to that. When I ask them these questions, I say, what is the easiest thing for you to do? And if you were left alone, what would you actually want to do? Sometimes I have to tell them, if you were on a stranded island and there was no monetary currency, the only thing determining what you were going to do was happy juice. You were paid, you were compensated for the things that you did with some kind of liquid currency that you purchased, your home, your food, your clothing with. What would make you happy? You know what, ladies and gentlemen, that's your dominant function. That's why you need to do it for 8 hours a day. But some people don't know themselves well enough to be able to say that. It's very important when you are taking any version of any test to determine the letters of your personality. What is the easiest thing for you to do? What are you naturally good at? Yeah, and what brings you pleasure? You might not even know those things. So it's time to find out. Now, what I'm going to do is explain each of the activities, right? There's sensing, intuiting, thinking, and feeling that everybody has to do. And like I said, there's introverted and extroverted versions of them. Okay, so if we're talking about the principles of the dominant function that you should do 8 hours a day, it's so easy for you. It's automatic. And you do it really well without any practice. And it brings you so much pleasure that you don't need any compensation for it. It naturally is, in and of itself, fulfilling enough to make you feel compensated. Okay, so the auxiliary function, you know what? You do it really well and it brings you pleasure, but it's not automatic. So you need motivation to start doing it. Okay, well, the tertiary function, yeah, you can do it really well, but it's not going to bring you pleasure and it's not automatic. So you need motivation and compensation. And your inferior function, it's not automatic and it's not easy. And yeah, you don't do it well. It doesn't bring you pleasure. You need motivation and compensation and restoration when you're done doing your inferior function activities. That's why it's very important to limit the time that you're doing the tertiary and inferior functions, because you know that not only are you depriving yourself of the opportunity to perform your dominant and auxiliary functions, but you're also sucking the life out of yourself. I explain it kind of like the dominant function is like breathing. You have to force yourself to stop doing it. The auxiliary function is like eating. You need to do it. You don't need to do it all the time, like breathing. The tertiary function is like walking. Yeah, you can do it. You can absolutely do it even for an extended period of time, but you got to stop and recover. And the inferior function is like running. You really and truly shouldn't do it more than a few minutes at a time. Yeah, if you do it for an extended period of time, your entire lifestyle has to revolve around maintaining that level of performance. But again, since it's the polar opposite of your dominant function, you're not breathing while you're doing it. So you should not do it. Even if you do it well, even if you're a marathon runner and you're an Olympic athlete, you can run a 4-minute mile and you can run 25 miles a day. Yeah, you really shouldn't do it too much because it wears you out and it breaks you down. Okay, so now let's talk very specifically about the different activities, specific examples of what employs different functions. So what I did was I wrote a list of, let's see, 8 activities with 2 examples for each one. So 16 personalities that could be doing good jobs, good work for their functional nature. Let's start off with extroverted sensing. Okay, so extroverted just means socially interactive. That means there's a lot of people there. And sensing means stimulating, right? Actively stimulating. So extroverted sensing is socially stimulating interaction with a lot of people. You know what? The ESTP has dominant extroverted sensing. The best thing for them to do would be professional sports. Yeah, because they are interacting with people and it's very physically stimulating. They can do it for a very long time. And as long as it's in a group setting, they will do it very, very well. Okay, well, how about an ESFP? Yeah, they also have dominant extroverted sensing. But as a feeler, you know what? Yeah, they need to be in with people, caring for them. A shoe salesman, an ESFP would be a great shoe salesman because they want the socially stimulating interaction, but the feeler in them, that's auxiliary, wants to be generous to people. Where the ESTP, as a thinker, they need to be objective and analytical. Okay, yeah. Well, how about dominant extroverted intuition? Intuition is about profound insight. So if they were extroverted intuition, they would want to have that profound insight in a group experience. And they would want to be socially interactive with the people that they're being insightful and profound with. So that would be an ENTP. You know what? As a used car salesman, they are showing social insight when they are saying, "What do you need? How can we do it in the best possible high quality way for you and for the best price?" Yeah, well, they can negotiate, they can wheel and deal. They're very influential. They love to be with people, interacting with them, and be very insightful about how they say and do everything. Okay, but what about an ENFP? You know what? They want to be profoundly insightful and interactive, but as a feeler, they're very humanitarian. Working as a call-in center operator, if maybe for a suicide hotline, they could actually talk people out of killing themselves because not only does their intuition, extroverted, make them very insightful and profound, but their feeling makes them lovingly generous. You can never have too much of that. And the great thing about ENFPs, they never run out of what most people, yours truly included, only have a limited supply of. Okay, well, how about dominant extroverted thinking? Well, thinking is about being rational, objective, and analytical. Extroverted means socially that way. They want a lot of people around. You know what? An ENTJ has dominant extroverted thinking. A district attorney, that would be the best job for them because as they're being logical and rational and analytical and objective, they can be around people all day long and actually have a very high quality level of performance in those activities. They would never get tired. They would literally work 14-hour days and sleep very well at night. Well, how about, okay, an ESTJ? Yeah, dominant extroverted thinking. That would be a dermatologist because as a sensor, they're able to do things where an intuitive would be doing them in their mind. A sensor with a judging, that would be very precise in their performance. The execution of their dominant thinking would always be accurate. Wow, that's really important because they would not only be able to make objective and analytical decisions as their dominant extroverted activity, but since that would make their sensing auxiliary. Yeah, introverted sensing is auxiliary. So they could be doing sensory activities that they have to be very accurate in the decision-making thinking process. Okay, well, how about dominant extroverted feeling? Okay, well, feeling is about being socially generous and taking care of people, really loving them unconditionally. Yeah, but being extroverted means in a group setting. So socially generous caretaking, you know, who has a dominant extroverted feeling? An ESFJ. So since extroverted feeling is what they love to do, they're sensing as introverted, a food salesman. Yeah, they would actually make their own food. They would sell it on the street because not only do they like to make food when they're alone, but when they are selling their product, watching people eat that food would be just as stimulating and gratifying for them as actually making the product, producing the product itself. Or an ENFJ also has dominant extroverted feeling. They would be a great flight attendant because they are taking care of people in a nurturing way. They are doting on people and providing something that the people need. Yeah, but that they also want. And so an ENFJ, as socially generous caretaking, they would be able to work on a 14-hour flight, interacting with hundreds of people, and they wouldn't feel drained by the end of it. So yeah, extroverted feeling as a dominant function, that would be true to their nature. So, well, how about the introverted sensing, intuition, thinking, and feeling? Okay, well, dominant introverted sensing, two personalities that have that are the ISTJ and the ISFJ. Yeah, sensing is stimulating action, but introverted means personally. That means either alone or only with one other person that is very special, intimately special to them. So dominant introverted sensing for an ISTJ would mean that they would do construction work, commercial construction work very well, because as dominant introverted sensing would give them precision and very high quality performance, and they wouldn't necessarily have to be interactive with the people that they're working with. Yeah, verbally interactive with them. They would just need to consistently perform high quality work. Well, the other one is an ISFJ. If introverted sensing was their dominant function, then their auxiliary function would be extroverted feeling. You know what? They would do well in building maintenance, but maybe more as an apartment, right? Maintenance man, because their feeling would genuinely want to see that all of the people around them were being taken care of. It would be in the context of a personal service that they would feel very gratified and stimulated by as a sensory performer. They would do plumbing, they would do repairs, construction, whatever needed to be done. But in the ultimate goal of taking care in a humanitarian way of the residents, that would be the most important thing to an ISFJ. Okay, well, how about dominant introverted intuition? Intuition, again, is about being profoundly insightful, but introverted means that they're doing it in a solitary way. They want to do it either alone or only with one other person. So dominant introverted intuition for an INTJ, that would be a writer, because they would want to have insight about information. They're logical and rational and analytical, but they don't really want to talk to people. Okay, so they would make excellent writers. They would have so many profound thoughts and ingenious ideas that they would be able to put into words, but not verbally. Yeah, so writing would be good. Well, the other one is an INFJ, if they were being feeler while they had this profound insight, they take excellent care of people, even as an introvert, but it would only need to be one-on-one. So they would make a very good massage therapist. They could have that personal interaction with individuals one at a time, and they would say, yeah, I definitely need to give you the personal attention that you need, but I can feel things that might not be physical going on inside of you. And my, intuition says that even when you're telling me you think this is the problem, nope, I'm right, because I know I can feel you and I accept what my body is telling me in response to your body. Okay, so how about dominant introverted thinking? Well, thinking is about being academic, objective, rational, but introverted means privately, right? Solitary or just with one other person, okay? So if they're being profoundly insightful, but they're being academically objective and rational and logical, an ISTP would be a good archaeologist because they would want to see physically the things that they are making those judgment calls, those objective analytical judgment calls. And as a scientist, a lot of the work that they could do would be alone. It could be alone. And they would only need to get together with people in a sensory way from time to time to confirm what their dominant introverted thinking had provided to them as that source of information. Or an INTP, if they have to be academic and logical and objective about something, but without other people, yeah, that's a good accountant because they can work with numbers like people. For them, numbers are people, and sometimes people are numbers. So they're not really necessarily the best at being nurturing, but when they are working with information, their precision and accurate attention to detail is impeccable. Okay, but how about dominant introverted feeling? Okay, so again, feeling is about being sensitive and generous, very unselfish. But if they're an introvert, how can they be that way alone? Yeah, or intimately one-on-one. So an INFP would be the dominant introverted feeling. They would be a great nurse because if their intuition, which was extroverted, was working with their dominant introverted feeling, everything that they gave their patients would be of the best quality from a very unselfish source, generous source. Yeah, they would just need to do it one at a time, and that's what's great for nursing. Okay, well, how about an ISFP? Oh, their introverted feeling is dominant, but their sensing is extroverted. So they would have the generosity to give to people, just not in direct interaction. An ISFP would be a great sculptor because their artistic expression would be their sensory part, right? When they have that physical, tangible product that they have produced for people, it would still be with the ultimate goal of connecting with those people that they're sharing a product with on a profoundly generous level. And they would know that they are changing people's lives with the work, the high quality production of their personal expression. Yeah. So when you know what all of these different activities are, extroverted means socially interactive, while introverted means solitary or intimate. Sensing is about stimulation and tangible product. Intuition is about profound thoughts and insight and understanding. Thinking is about objectively rational, analytical decision making. And feeling is about unselfish generosity, loving care of other people. So if you mix all of those things up and you know that different people are going to have different abilities, then you know to go to different people for different requests. What do you think? Is there more joy in giving than in receiving? Yeah, when you have someone in your life and you know what their dominant function is, that's what their gifts and talents and strengths and abilities. If you go to them and you say, I really need what you are, not just what you do, who you are. If you could give to me the genuine article of what's easy for you, what you do well, and what brings you pleasure, that you're making the quality of my life better. Do you know what a gift that is to that person? Because you are telling them you don't want them to change in any way. And who they are and what they do is making the world a better place. Those are the kinds of things that money can't buy. Fame and fortune, yeah, okay, that's nice. But it's not all it's cracked up to be. Because you know what? When you have genuine fulfillment inside of yourself, you don't need things like excessive money and possessions and fame. Yeah, those are not really necessary to be satisfied, fulfilled, gratified in life. Okay, so let's talk now about synchronize. Synchronize means that you can figure out what your differences are and say, you know what? You're doing certain things in a socially particular way. Actually, when I'm doing that activity where yours is introverted, mine is extroverted, let's find a way that we can employ, whether it's intuiting, sensing, thinking, or feeling, we can employ each of our functions in the most healthful way for both of us. And that way we will be not only more productive, but also more fulfilled when we're done. Okay, yeah, if we know that we're going to be doing different things with different people, we have a lot of different options, but communication is vital. So I call it the art of AIM. A-R-T of A-I-M. Okay, appreciation, respect, and trust. Those things are invaluable. You can't put a price on them. They're so important. They are vital to our well-being as souls. Appreciation, respect, and trust. Of AIM, abilities and intentions and motives. Yeah, do you appreciate people's abilities? Do you respect their intentions? Do you trust their motives? That's the only way we can work out potential differences of our personalities. You know what? Here's the bottom line. I love that my husband is a thinking perceiver like me. He's just an extroverted sensor, where I'm an introverted intuitive. So enough of what we do is similar, like our thinking. Our thinking is both introverted. So when we are doing things that are logical and rational, we work really well together as long as no one and nothing else is involved. Yeah, but my sensing is introverted and his is extroverted. Okay, that presents a potential challenge, right? Problem. And so I know that I can manage that situation in different ways. I'm either going to make it easier for him or I'm going to make it harder for him. When he is being sensory, yeah, he needs to be socially interactive. Yeah, delivering food for Uber Eats when he's driving. He would make a great taxi driver, carpool driver, because he could be socially interactive with a lot of people. But you know what? Since my sensing is introverted, I have to say to him, yeah, I'll run and I'll get the food from the restaurant. I'm just going to go in and grab the food and then run back out in the car. You can hand it to the clients, to the customers, because you know what? I have a really hard time making direct eye contact. We're going to get a bigger tip if you're the one giving them the food. Lo and behold, ladies and gentlemen, not only can we work out our differences, his sensing is dominant, mine is tertiary. He could do it for 8 hours a day. I cap out at about 3 hours. So yeah, when you understand not only the gifts and strengths and talents and abilities of people, but you accept and appreciate that there's limitations, that means that when he's being sensory, he can't really be intuitive. I can take care of the intuitive activities and just get the confirmation from him, not by telling him all of the details of all things intuitive, just giving him the once over view, the general summary. Yeah, then he can definitely appreciate the value of intuition activities and let me do them so he can stick to the sensing stuff. I'm sure you have people in your life that have the potential to offer you services and experiences, help and support. If you knew what their functional order was, you could actually say to them, I know you love to do this activity and you are very, very good at it and it's very easy for you. For me, it is like running uphill barefoot in the snow. Do you want to do it for me? Or you want to do it with me? You can help me out, depending on whether they're an introvert or an extrovert. Yes, this is absolutely vital information, ladies and gentlemen. But again, appreciate, respect, and trust their abilities and intentions and motives. Okay, but their ability is their skill set, right? Their intentions, it's What is their ultimate goal? And their motives are about why. Why is that their goal? So in order to synchronize, to synergize, you have to know how to communicate, to specify. You know what? More often than not, I've found that people don't even know necessarily what they're doing or why they're doing it. They're just in the habit of doing it or because everyone else is doing it. If you say to someone, let's talk about what's going on and make sure that not only what we're doing, but how we're doing it and why we're doing it is synchronized. That's when we get the synergy. Okay, so let's talk about the polar opposite of the dominant function, the inferior function. People need motivation and compensation and restoration when they are performing their inferior function. Do you understand and appreciate that sometimes you're going to need, in order to ask people to do things that they are horrible at, that's like running uphill barefoot in the snow, you are going to need to give them that motivation or that compensation or that restoration to get themselves back up to the high quality performance level that everyone wants to be at when they're doing things. Okay. Yeah, maybe they just shouldn't do it at all. And that's okay too. So when you say to them, look, I understand this is not easy for you, and I'm not going to ask you to do it past a certain point. And I'm not going to expect you to perform past a certain level. Do you have any idea how much that builds the trust and respect and appreciation? Because you have the ability to not only communicate very specifically what is going on in this situation, but very honestly how you think and feel. People want to know. They can handle the truth as long as you say it in a considerate, yes, very honest, but thoughtful and caring way. How you say it is almost more important than what you're saying, because appreciation, respect, and trust are not things that you can buy. They only come with time and personal direct interaction. The experience that you've had with them will build, create, and build, strengthen, fortify, edify, all of those things, the appreciation, the respect, and the trust. Because if you say to someone, look, I know that when you're doing this very stimulating activity, you do it better when you're not interrupted because your sensing is introverted. You don't necessarily have to go over all of the details of what that means. Just modify the way that you approach them, the way that you communicate with them, and make sure they always know that the door is open to ask you either questions for clarification or for help and support in that particular task. That's how you build the appreciation and the respect and the trust. Even if you're not doing necessarily the same exact activity, as long as you have the same ultimate goal, those differences don't have to be a dividing force. They can be the actual unification, because you know what? In whatever the activity is that you're performing, there are many different elements and variables that must be considered. Yeah, then that means that if you understand the entire situation and you say to the people, or maybe just one individual that's working with you and saying, let's stay synchronized so we can synergize, so we can feed off of the positive energy of each other while you're doing that part of it, I'm doing this part of it, and we know that we both know what we're both doing, and we agree to it. Now, I also tell people the potential in relationships are, the emotions that we have. Sometimes we have reaction emotions. One is anxiety, one is fear, and one is anger. They could potentially be bad things, but they are tools. They could potentially be good things. Anxiety is about what could potentially happen. Fear is about what is happening right here, right now. And anger is about what has happened. So an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. But if you have anxiety or fear or anger about something, you have the opportunity to express that, to the person that you're, or people that you're with, to say, there might be something other than my functionality, because you know what? I should be doing this well. There's something else going on inside of me. Give me the time or the opportunity to discern what is the actual problem inhibiting the manifestation of the synergy, the good quality unified activity that we have with the positive energy that will produce not only a large quantity, but a very high quality experience for people. And if you say to them, this is what I'm going through right now, I'm trying to figure it out, one of two things are going to happen. It's going to be, they'll say, no, I don't want to do that with you, to you, for you, or around you. And they'll walk away. Or it will make them see things differently and afford them the opportunity to learn and grow to be a better person. When you are honest with people, but with appreciation and respect and trust, that will more often than not make you both better people. It might not be time for you to get together with that person, but if you truly understand who they are in their functional nature, then you can say, I'm not going to ask something of you that is like walking 25 miles. You know what? For this other person, it's like eating at a buffet. Yes. They are going to be so grateful. And they might even be willing to perform that activity on a different quality level, even if it's not of a larger quantity, because then they would see the value, the inherent value of something that is counterintuitive to their nature. And they could say, okay, you know what? Yeah, quantitatively, I can't do this for you more than a certain amount of time. But the quality of my performance, because I appreciate and respect and trust you, will improve. It will increase because you are worth it. Now, when you have good, positive quality energy, you know that you are going to be doing things in a good way for a good reason. And it will manifest in a very high quality way, not only for the environment that you're in, but the people within that environment. And if you know that what you're saying and what you're doing to and for and with them, even if you're an introvert and you're not directly interacting with them in that activity, you are still affecting them. You are having an impact on them. Do you believe that people are worth it? Yeah, because even introverts like me, I know that people are really the source of the cause of the effect. Unfortunately, now with everything technological, we've almost forgotten about the human factor and the value of people, because now our machines are doing everything for us. I'm sorry, but sensing, intuiting, thinking, and feeling cannot be programmed into an electronic device the way the human soul affords us the capacity to be with, to, for each other, those things. And when we have connection, that can't be purchased with money. That can't be created with technology. We do need each other, even if we are an introvert. And you know what? We do have a need to give to people in a loving way, even if we're a thinker. And yeah, sensory people, they can be intuitive in the things that they do. But when you get to your lower level activities, the best way to employ one of the functions that's not your personality's first choice is to do it in the way of your personality or for the reason of your personality. I call it once removed or twice removed. Right? Because sometimes, like, we'll go back to the ENFJ, right? Her lower function of introverted thinking, that's her inferior function. If her introverted intuition of her auxiliary function can afford her the space for her also introverted thinking to come in and say, okay, you know what? If I'm going to be introvertedly intuitive, that's profoundly insightful, then I can sprinkle the thinking into that. I can be logical and rational while I'm also being intuitive. Yeah. Or tertiary extroverted sensing. You know what? She's really not good at sensory activities, But if she's doing it in her dominant extroverted feelings way or for the feeling reason, then the sensory activities will be high quality. Yeah, and she doesn't have to do it for too long and saying to people, I can do sensory things, but the feeling's got to be there. Or I can be logical and rational in my thinking, but I need to do it for an intuitive reason, a profound and meaningful reason. And you know what? People love it when you're honest, or when you say, you know what? I'm having this very angry moment about what's happened. Let me process the feelings, and then I can figure out why I'm angry. What specifically was the problem? Let's get back together. We synchronize to synergize. You know what? I teach people a lot of things. When it comes to your personality, you need to embrace your nature. When it comes to reaching your goals, maximize your strengths and talents, your gifts and abilities. And the book that I'm working on right now is about marriage. How can you have differences and still work together? Birds of a feather flock together, or do opposites attract? You know what? If you understand your nature and functional order of the people around you, you can say to the mate, yeah, our differences are the best things about us, and our similarities are why we appreciate, respect, and trust each other, so we can work out the minor details of all of the things in life we have to do. We have to do sensory things. We have to do intuitive things. We have to do thinking things, and we have to do feeling things. And if we keep the times, again, for the dominant function, it needs to be 8 hours a day. The auxiliary function, 2 or 3 to 4 hours a day. The tertiary function, 2 to 3 hours a day, and the inferior function, 1 to 2 hours a day. Your mate will say, okay, you know what? Your inferior function is auxiliary for me. I can go ahead and do that. But you know what? What if you're both lower function activities are, what's needing to be done? Then you can say, we will find someone. We can hire the help, because it will be worth it for us to continue doing our dominant and auxiliary functions in a high quality way, because we can get money doing those things and give the money to someone else who, by the way, that job that they're doing, that's their dominant function. So you're not only giving that person the chance to employ their dominant function, but you are giving them monetary compensation as well. What you put out into the universe, ladies and gentlemen, it will come back to you. And your high quality emotional and mental energy will improve your physical performance. If you know that you are in a good mood with the people that you are with, your good mood, again, it's going to do one of two things. It's either going to put the people around you in a good mood, because energy is contagious, or if they are hell bent on being in a bad mood, your good mood is going to annoy them and they're going to bail. Okay. So yes, I have books on my website, Embrace Your Nature, Till Death Do Us Part, the Life Coaching Workbook, life-synergy-coaching.com. And the email, if you want to send me a question, again, I didn't open up the phone lines at all, but if you listen to this archive and you want to replay it a couple of times, if you have any questions about anything specifically that I said, you can go ahead and email synergyrelationshipcoaching@gmail.com. And I will be opening up the lines for my show next week. The number to the station is 888-627-6008. So if you have anything really specifically that you want to ask me about the functions, I also have the MBTI book in an audio form. That's, my books are on Amazon, but if you get them on my website, the Life Coaching Workbook and the Embrace Your Nature book are both in audio form, and you're welcome to download those as well. The marriage book, Till Death Do Us Part, that will be available also in audio form, hopefully by the end of October. Thank you so much for listening to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. Let's synchronize to synergize. We'll see you next week. What you think is black and white might be someone else's life. Read between the lines they speak. There's a strength inside the weak. Not just who we show outside. There's a deeper truth.
to understand. We can finally take a stand, not against, but side by side with the awareness as our guide to power.